WTAW News Time is about 5 minutes after 8. It's 64 degrees here at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news, brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe, your one-stop steel supply store on Highway 21 East in Bryan. Go to pioneerboys.com. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. Bryan School District Superintendent Tommy Wallace has been out of the office for 9 days. That was one of the questions that School Board President Doug Wunnenberger answered following last night's closed-door meeting, which lasted 4.5 hours.
He was not at our meeting on Monday night, so Tuesday, I suppose, was his first day not at work. He left on Monday not feeling well.
Other questions were not answered because it's a personnel item.
Dr. Wallace, part of the conversation by telephone and or online?
I really can't comment on that.
Is there a date that Dr. Wallace has indicated that he will return?
No, I can't make a comment on that.
Wunnenberger says Deputy Superintendent Tim Roeke is in charge. Dr. Roeke joined the 6 board members, the district's in-house lawyer, and an outside attorney last night. No action was taken, and the next opportunity for the board to resume discussing the superintendent's contract is Monday at their regularly scheduled noon meeting. Dr. Wallace has not responded to requests for a comment about his absence. A Rudder High School student says she was assaulted by a teacher. The Bryan Police Department has completed their investigation with making no arrests. The teacher has been placed on leave by the Bryan School District until their investigation is completed. Bryan Police Sergeant Ryan Bona says no one was injured, and incorrect information about that led the department to issuing a news release.
There were people saying that the teacher had actually choked or strangled the student. And we obviously don't want that misinformation to be out in the public.
Bona says their investigation ended after giving the student and her guardian an application to file a Class C misdemeanor complaint in Bryan Municipal Court.
Basically, it's a document where they're allowed to write down the incident in their own words. They present that to Bryan Municipal Court, who looks at the merits of the case to determine whether or not there's enough information to proceed on with a court case.
Bryan ISD spokesman Brandon Webb says the student is in school and Child and Protective Services has been notified of the incident. The Brazos County District Attorney's Office makes a plea agreement with a Washington County man who admits he repeatedly kicked and stomped his girlfriend's head in a Texas A&M parking lot more than 2 years ago. Prosecutors say 41-year-old Chad Smith of Burton was sentenced to 10 years for injuries that included exposing the woman's skull. Smith has been in jail since shortly after the assault in June 2014 outside the Poultry Science Headquarters building. According to the arrest report, Smith beat the woman after she took too much time to get to him after he ran out of gas. 85 homes have been built in Bryan this year where builders don't have to pay for permits and other fees. An update on the third year of Bryan's Home Builders Incentive Program was given at this week's City Council workshop. The city has waived $120,000 in fees to 37 builders of homes between 2,200 and 3,000 square feet, or an average value of $238,000. Councilman Rafael Pina called for incentives to build smaller homes. Mayor Jason Bielski suggested working with the city's community development office to target neighborhoods that would otherwise have manufactured housing.
Well, I hear people all the time calling me wanting to put manufactured housing here. I mean, I hear it in the real estate business. That, in the long run, 10, 15 years from now, council members, is not going to be a desirable product for our citizens, but something that might appreciate, you know, even if it is a 1,200 square foot home that's stick and brick, is going to be better than a manufactured home.
The council was also told the value of all new building activity in Bryan this year has topped $183 million. That's an increase of $54 million from last year. And at this week's Bryan City Council meeting, they gave a new definition of chamber music.
As the Polish mayor of Bryan, I welcome you to our community.
Mayor Jason Bielski welcomed the Polish folk group Tekla Klebanica. Two members of the quartet performed before the council began its business.
A couple of council members mentioned to me that you're welcome to play the rest of the council meeting. It'd be the most calm and serene meeting we've had in a long time.
It's the third time Texas A&M professor Jim Mazurkiewicz has hosted the quartet, which 3 years ago placed second out of 8,000 contestants in the European Got Talent competition. Bill Oliver, Newstalk 1620 WTAW.
WTAW News Time is 9 minutes after 8. It's 64 degrees. You can text us any time of the day, 979-695-1620. This Look at News is brought to you by Pioneer Steel and Pipe. One more look at news at 8:30, or you can always go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
As the Brazos Valley's largest supplier of metal building components, pipe, and steel, Pioneer stocks a complete line of metal building and carport packages, from structural framework like I-beam and square tubing to sheet metal, trim packages, roll-up doors, and insulation. Pioneer is your one-stop shop. Metal buildings and carports are Pioneer Steel's specialty. Pioneer Steel, Highway 21 East. Call 979-589-2333. Or on the web at pioneerboys.com.
Sioux Falls Prater's selection of John Deere round balers maximize uptime and minimize operation costs, so you're able to do more for less. Right now, get a John Deere round baler at 0% interest for 48 months. John Deere balers are made with the strongest and most durable internal components. They also feature an adjustable hitch, a BaleTrak Pro Monitor controller, and a MegaWide Plus pickup with MegaTough pickup teeth. So stop by today or view our inventory at cptractor.com. Offer ends October 28th, 2016. Subject to approved installment credit with John Deere Financial. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Let's do some weather at 810. It's brought to you this morning by Anchor Foundation Repair, the leader in foundation repair for more than 30 years. They also do polyurethane concrete raising. More information, go to anchorfoundationrepair.net.
Brilliant sunshine over the next several days, but more comfortable temperatures as high pressure from the north starts to take a little bit of control away from the Bermuda High and the high over the Gulf of Mexico. Well, that sun today will push temperatures up to 80 to 85. Overnight, we're clear. We're 55 to 60. Another sunny day in the forecast for tomorrow, 80 to 85. Clear, 60 tomorrow night, and it's sunny Saturday, 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There you are. Anyway, we have pretty well realized that this is not probably not been a good 6 weeks for Samsung.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It's not over.
Exploding batteries of Samsung Galaxy Note 7 cell phones forced them all to be recalled. Now the company is dealing with exploding washing machines. Samsung is warning customers about its washing machines after one blew up on a woman in Georgia. The company says it's because of abnormal vibrations that could cause injury or property damage. The Dallas, Georgia woman says her top-loading Samsung washing machine actually went kaboom. Melissa Thaxton says at first she thought it was a bomb. Samsung says if you stuff the machines with bedding or other bulky material, make sure you use the lower speed delicate cycle, which it says is not causing any problems.
Oh. What is going on?
If you're going to wash bulky things, you know, like bedspreads or shoes or, you know, clothes. Yeah.
And it's not like, use it in case, it might put a hole in your comforter. No, it might blow up your house.
Anyway, the Consumer Product Safety Commission warned of problems with some of these top load machines. So what they say is the company advises consumers to use the lower speed. Samsung does not name the models. Thanks.
Oh, thanks. That's helpful.
But allows customers to enter the serial number to see whether their machine is among those affected.
If they have a murderous washing machine, please take the time to enter the serial number.
So if it happens and you didn't check, what, it's your fault?
Yeah.
Is that where we're going with that one?
Right. No, this is... I've not been a Samsung customer, but I'm not going to be one anytime soon.
Yeah.
Aside from this phone I have right here, but I've had it a long time.
Yeah, it hasn't blown up yet.
And it's old. I don't know. That's like a Samsung 3 or something.
It's on borrowed time, though, apparently.
Well, and you know, with the phones, I mean, that could also cause, you know, potential injury to other people. Yeah. The washing machine, at least it's in your house.
Yeah, that's true. That's,
but unless you're living in a rental.
Yeah, or an apartment or something like that. Yeah.
It's not yours.
Tell your child to stay away. Don't get near it. Do not get
dangerous
near it.
Vibrations.
Yeah. That's all it takes. So
and they said abnormal vibration. Yeah, I'd call that abnormal.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Okay. Kaboom. She used the word kaboom.
Yes, she did. Yep. Uri's going, thanks. Appreciate the plug, right? The mascots.
We got it.
There might be some people who did. Speaking of mascots, now. See, A&M is one of the, I'm trying to think of schools that have mascots. Okay, now, Ole Miss has a mascot, right? The current. Well, no, they don't use him anymore.
They don't use the Rebel?
No, I don't think they
probably
do.
Probably not very PC anymore.
Is there an LSU Tiger? Is there
yes,
a tiger?
Well, he's no. real.
Yeah, but they don't have,
oh,
they don't have
but
like
they do.
Mascot.
No, they do.
Do they have
yep.
like a furry?
At the football games, they okay. have a human being who dresses up as a mascot. Or as a tiger.
Well, I had no idea. And
ooh, and South Carolina has Cocky.
Oh, they do. That's
yep.
right.
Yep.
That's true.
I've taken a picture with him.
Okay, mm-hmm. that does. So that happens. But we apparently now have a mascot Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. I heard about ooh. This.
Yeah. This is, and in fact, there's a story in the Wall Street Journal about it today, and they lead the story off talking with Robert Baldwin, who was the mascot Clutch the Bear.
Okay.
For the Houston Rockets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so, you know, he thinks that's really cool. And so they've got a 24,000-square-foot building expected to open next year, will feature a collage of oversized mascot heads suspended from the ceiling and exhibits for children.
Oh, yeah, that's not creepy.
Yeah, yeah. Such as physical education.
Physical education.
Yeah. So there
I
you
see
are.
What you did there. Yeah.
Thank you. Anyway, they said it should be fun. To men and women inside the costumes, there's nothing funny about the notion of their characters being enshrined. Barry Anderson, who performed for more than a decade at the Chicago Bulls games as Benny the Bull, who isn't a member of the Hall, choked up when talking about the project.
Mm, wow.
It's a fraternity.
Nah. Ooh, very nice. There. There are only about 125 or so full-time mascots for professional sports teams, along with scores more at the collegiate level, who are typically manned by students. Mm-hmm. It's a close-knit group, as a matter of fact. In fact, Mr. Baldwin married in 2015. 20 of his mascot pals served in the wedding party in full costume.
Wow, so, that's interesting. Yeah.
The museum is the brainchild of the guy who was the original Philly fanatic. If you'll remember that green thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's popular.
Yep. Jazz the Bear from the Utah Jazz basketball team submitted a video in which Senator Orrin Hatch extolled the mascot's significance. He's a politician. Mm-hmm. I can't believe anything they say. Anyhow, so there you go. And it's going to be in Indiana, and it'll have both college and professional mascots. Hello.
Hey, in Samsung's defense, isn't there already a laundry detergent called Kaboom?
Oh,
that's what she was hearing. It was just her laundry detergent.
You know, and if you thought it was weird that he had mascots in his wedding party, he also got married in a maroon velvet suit.
Hey.
So...
That's well, all right.
Classy.
I'm just looking at wedding pictures.
So you got
fine.
That going on. Right?
I wonder what their wedding hashtag was.
Oh, no kidding. All right. So the Canine Cognition Center at Yale University found that dogs will not follow bad advice when given by their masters. Yeah. Well, can we say masters anymore? Humans who they live with.
Yeah.
What we have to masters. Say. Anyway,
be politically correct.
That's exactly
here,
right. They found that the dogs would leave out unnecessary actions when they learn a more efficient way to solve a task at hand. Researchers gave 40 dogs a puzzle box that contained a treat. Attached to the side was a plastic dog toy in the shape of a stick. And although it was not functioning at all, it was not relevant to solving the puzzle, the human would move it as if it did. Well, after a few sessions with the box, each dog, all 40 of them, learned that since the lever had nothing to do with opening the box, they just quit messing with it. They found a way to do it. Thanks anyway.
All right.
So maybe the next time you tell your dog to do something and they look at you and go, well, mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Maybe it's a bad idea.
They may be smarter than we think. Hello.
Hey, I got a question about the whole Brian Askey superintendent controversy.
Well, I'll try to answer something, but go ahead.
As a taxpayer,
yeah,
didn't I have access to any agreements that the school district enters into that are non-standard as far as the standard teacher contract is same for everybody.
Actually,
the termination contract would be different.
No, it's no, because it's a personnel matter. I'm not an attorney and I don't play one on the radio, but it's always been that way, that personnel matters are not going to be subject to us knowing about that. So
yeah.
We'll see. All right, so let's see. All right, now, there are four today is International Coffee Day.
Mm-hmm.
There
yes.
are four times you should never, ever drink coffee, okay?
when it's way too hot, obviously. Mm. Obviously.
Unless it's iced coffee.
Yeah. 149 degrees is the number, okay? That can increase.
Oh, hot outside. Sorry. Yeah, I was saying hot outside.
No.
The actual coffee temperature.
Yeah, exactly, right.
Got it.
What that, in fact, can do is increase your chances of esophageal cancer.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that on the show.
Yep. So
it's
let
dangerous.
It cool a little
so
bit.
I'm going to get my thermometer out every time that I go buy coffee.
Shouldn't there be one built into your car? Oh,
well, it's sold at, like, I think we looked it up. The average temp that it's sold at is like 160.
Uh-oh.
So better let it cool down.
And I generally do. Okay, and do not drink it if you're prone to anxiety. A registered dietitian name of Allie Miller says that caffeine can release the stress hormone cortisol, which triggers the fight or flight response. It's what makes you drive faster.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. So it could feed your road rage. when you're seriously starved for sleep, don't be drinking it then. How you like that? Caffeine buzz will not do very much. New research shows that no amount of caffeine can overcome the decline in your cognitive performance when you get less than 5 hours of sleep for three nights. Instead, take a 20-minute nap. That'll help. And don't drink coffee when you drink a cup at the crack of dawn. Uh-oh. That's you, isn't it?
Yeah. The first thing I do in the morning. I program my coffee maker so it's already ready when I wake up.
Okay. You get a natural energy boost first thing in the morning, so it's best to indulge between 10 a.m. and noon.
No, cannot wait that long.
That is,
cannot wait that long.
That's way too long.
So putting that on our schedule, I really should wait until like 5 a.m.
Yeah. Now, but
still not going to happen.
So, but you must have at least experienced a natural energy high once in the morning when you didn't have coffee.
Yeah, when I slept till 11 a.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's few and far between.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, never mind.
That thing called sleep. Yeah.
That can make a difference.
That'll do it.
We don't do Broadway stories very often, but this is kind of interesting. The original cast of Hamilton, which obviously is doing well, made history in lots of ways, but Bloomberg says the very shrewd actors and actresses also finally got themselves a piece of the pie.
Hey.
The producer of the show, Jeffrey Seller, agreed to give the original cast 1% of the profits from the Broadway show to split. They are splitting 1% 22 ways. But with all the cash the show is making, it's still a bunch of money. Even those who had already left the show are still getting in on this deal. So the same 22 folks will split 0.33%, a third of a percent, on any production of the show anywhere in the world. And they'll get 1% as long as it remains on Broadway. What the producer was going to do is give them each checks of up to $36,000 apiece for each cast member and just leave it in their dressing rooms. But he said instead, no, we're not going to do that.
So interesting.
It is. So they'll
good for them. Yeah.
Well, they will. They'll get a chance to benefit for a long, long time. I mean, if you get a third of 1% everywhere in the world that it plays, think of stuff like Phantom of the Opera, which, you know.
True. And it, I mean, it's crazy how popular this thing is.
Yeah, it really is. I'm, you know, again, don't know how historically accurate it is, but I like the idea. But I like the idea that it causes curiosity.
It does. You're right. Because how many people were talking about Hamilton before this?
Oh, yeah.
That's it. So
it saved his face on the bill.
You're right. As a matter of fact, he wouldn't be on the bill anymore. It's 823.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on WTAW, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Schulte Roofing, Prosperity Bank, Atkinson Toyota, Hargrove Insurance, and Cherry Rufino Realtors.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
If you have land to take care of, you need a service and supply company that can take care of you. Wegwert Inc. in Calvert has served the Brazos Valley with small-town attention since 1978. Is your farm equipment in need of service or repair? Lance and his crew are experts at repairing and refurbishing trailers, including electrical, and offer welding services for farm equipment. And Wegwert Inc. is your trusted source for hay balers, shredders, and pasture sprayers at no-hassle prices. Ask about this month's special on row balers, Wegwert Inc. on Highway 6 in Calvert, or visit WegwertInc.com.
I have a passion for the environment. That's why I serve in the United States Coast Guard. We monitor commercial vessels, making sure our ports and waterways are safe and clean from oil or other hazardous material. We We patrol our fisheries, protect marine wildlife and their habitats. With all we do, it's about protecting America.
Were you born ready to protect America? Learn more at GoCoastGuard.com.
Sponsored by the United States Coast Guard in cooperation with the Texas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Hi, this is Colonel Aaron Vangelisti, commander of the Air Force Reserve's 433rd Airlift Wing at Joint Base San Antonio, Lackland Air Force Base, Texas. Military experience can add greatly to your life, as it has mine. The Air Force Reserve locations throughout the region offer positions with excellent training, including the exciting areas of intelligence and cyberspace. I encourage you to start your adventure in the Air Force Reserve by going to afreserve.com or calling 800-257-1212.
Sponsored by the Air Force Reserve, aired by the Texas Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Prehistoric raindrops. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is Science Update. Believe it or not, some fossils contain impressions of raindrops that fell billions of years ago. Astrobiologist Sanjoy Sum, now at NASA Ames Research Center, used them to study the early Earth's atmosphere. He explains that if the air was denser back then, raindrops would have fallen more slowly.
And thus the raindrop impressions would be smaller. Versus if the air pressure was thin, then the drops would be falling faster and the imprints would be larger.
While at the University of Washington, his team compared the fossilized raindrop impressions to new ones, which they made under precise conditions in the lab. Their work suggests that the air pressure back then was much closer to today's than previously thought. Some says comparing conditions on the young Earth to the present may help us make predictions about planets beyond the solar system. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.
I'm Jennifer Kishinko with Your Money Now. The U.S. economy grew at a modestly faster pace in the spring than previously estimated. Gross domestic product, a broad measure of goods and services produced across the country, expanded at a 1.4% rate in the second quarter, up from last month's estimate of 1.1%. Now stripped of tens of millions in compensation in a scandal over sales practices, Wells Fargo's CEO will face lawmakers with more defenses than he had in the last round when some senators called for his resignation. John Stumpf comes into today's hearing before the House Financial Services Committee, able to cite the millions he and another top executive will forfeit, her departure from the bank, and an earlier date for the aggressive sales quota to end. Already dealing with a massive recall of its Galaxy Note 7 smartphone, Samsung says it's now looking into consumer complaints that some of its replacement phones are overheating. There have been complaints that the device was too hot to place next to the ear. That's Your Money Now.
If you're over 65, there's one place you should be Wednesday, October 5th, and that's the Rite Aid 1 of 65 Plus event. In addition to the 20% off seniors get every first Wednesday, you'll get an extra 10% off that day if you get an immunization. That's 30% off almost everything in store. If you need another reason, the CDC recommends a flu and pneumonia shot if you're over 65. They're both free with Medicare Part B and no appointments necessary. So stay healthy and don't miss our one-day event Wednesday, October 5th. Rite Aid. With us, it's personal. Some restrictions apply. See store for details.
I've been teaching organic chemistry for the last 17 years, so I'm pretty good with complex calculations. But when I started thinking about my retirement, I was pretty stumped. Luckily, I have TIAA as my financial partner. Together, we retrosynthetically analyzed my financial future, which is organic chem speak for we figured it out.
Your personal success takes a financial partner who values it as much as you do. Learn more at TIAA.org.
In just 2 days, on October 1st, the United States will hand over control and oversight of the Internet naming system to, well, no one's quite sure. Kim Commando with your Thursday Digital Consumer Tech Update. What I'm about to tell you has been in the works for years, and it's very political, but no one's talking about it. ICANN is the acronym for the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. ICANN keeps track of almost everything online, routing you to wherever you want to go. This organization has always been under direct U.S. government control, but this Saturday, it changes. Oversight of administering the Internet will be handed off to what I'll call global multi-stakeholderism. What will happen? Maybe nothing. The story is not getting any traction, and the political candidates aren't talking about them either. And no one has figured out a good reason why we're doing it right now, unless Congress intervenes. Get all the breaking tech news updated all the time at news.commando.com. That's K-O-M-A-N-D-O. You really need to check this out. Epson's revolutionary EcoTang printers. And listen to this. Cartridge-free printing. That's right. Epson has produced a refillable ink tank, ready to print for up to 2 years. Imagine a printer that comes with enough ink right in the box to print up to 8,500 pages. That's equivalent to 50 ink cartridge sets. You save up to 80% on ink with low-cost replacement bottles. The Epson EcoTank ET4550 is a wireless, all-in-one printer. High-speed, vivid colors, and laser-quality black text. Easy wireless printing for PCs, tablets, and smartphones. Go cartridge-free for an unbeatable combination of convenience and value. The Epson EcoTank ET4550 comes with up to 2 years of ink right in the box. Go to Epson.com/EcoTank to learn more. That's Epson.com/EcoTank. Epson, exceed your vision.
The Kim Komando Show is brought to you by Kubota. Value, efficiency, and performance. Find a Kubota dealer near you at TexasKubotaDealers.com.
WTAW News Time is 8:30. It's 65 degrees at the studios. We'll take a look at your forecast coming up after the news. Brought to you by Reedfields Meats and Deli, with healthy choices and the best prices in town. Open weekdays 8 until 6 and Saturdays 8 until 4. And you can always call in your order at 822-1594. Good morning, I'm Chelsea Reber. The Bryan School Board met behind closed doors for 4.5 hours last night discussing the contract of Superintendent Tommy Wallace. The special meeting took place after Wallace went on personal leave, which Board President Doug Wonenberger says began a week ago last Tuesday at Wallace's request. Wonenberger was asked to respond to concerns from parents and students about the superintendent's status.
We still have the same issue that it's a personnel matter that I can't discuss. So if they can wait until our next meeting, then we should have some clarification on that.
Wonenberger would not say whether Wallace participated by phone or computer. Joining the six members in the closed-door meeting were the district's in-house and external lawyers and Deputy Superintendent Tim Roeke, who is in charge while Wallace is gone. Wonenberger would not say when Wallace would return. The next opportunity for the board to discuss Wallace's contract is next Monday at their regularly scheduled noon meeting. Dr. Wallace has not responded to requests for comment on his absence. A teacher at Rudder High School has been placed on leave by the Bryan School District following a student's allegation of being assaulted. That's after an investigation by Bryan police resulted in no injuries and no one being arrested. Sergeant Ryan Bona says reports that the student was choked are incorrect. Bona says the student and her guardian have 10 days to decide if they want to file a Class C misdemeanor assault complaint in Bryan Municipal Court.
If they do submit it within the 10 days, then it's given to a member of the municipal court who looks at it, determines whether or not there's enough information to go to trial.
Bryan ISD spokesman Brandon Webb says the student is in school. The teacher is on leave until their investigation is completed and Child and Protective Services has been notified. Domestic violence in a Texas A&M parking lot, which put a woman in the hospital, results in a 10-year prison sentence. The plea agreement with the Brazos County District Attorney's Office included Chad Smith admitting to repeatedly kicking and stomping his girlfriend's head, causing her skull to be exposed. The 41-year-old Burton man has already served 2 years of the punishment because he's been in jail since shortly after the June 2014 attack. Construction activity in the city of Bryan is up $54 million compared to the first 8 months of last year. One reason is the third year of an incentive program to build homes between 2,200 and 3,000 square feet. The city council was told this week that 85 homes built this year have a combined value of more than $13 million, or an average of $238,000. Frank Clark of the city's Economic Development Office says they're looking at extending the incentive of waiving fees to smaller homes in targeted neighborhoods. One of the hurdles is improving city infrastructure.
The lots are available, they're already platted, but there may be other issues that make it cost prohibitive to serve water or sewer, or it may be the street needs to be upgraded or not even built.
Through the end of August, $57 million of permits have been issued in Bryan for 262 new homes and renovating another 488 houses. Bryan also has 20 permits for multifamily permits of at least 5 units, which have a combined value of almost $33 million. WTAW News Time is about 8:34. It's 64 degrees. You can text us at 979-695-1620. This look at news is brought to you by Reedfield Meats and Deli. More news today at noon, or you can always go online to our website at WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber, News Talk 1620, WTAW.
Reedfield Meats and Deli has been your game day headquarters for over 56 years. Whether you're tailgating for two or 200, shop Reedfield Meats on Texas Avenue in Bryan. Bacon wrapped filet mignon, smoked applewood bacon, meat kebabs, seasoned and marinated meats, bacon wrapped specialties, fresh muffaletta sandwiches, and in-store made Italian sausage are just the highlights. Don't forget Reedfield's spectacular party trays for game day gatherings. Award-winning Reedfield Meats and Deli. Open Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturdays till 4.
Let's do some weather. It's brought to you this morning by Action Sports, home of the new Can-Am Spyder and Kawasaki Mule Pro FXT. Stop by and see them yourself at Action Sports, 202 Holloman Drive East, or click on actionsportstx.com.
Brilliant sunshine over the next several days, but more comfortable temperatures as high pressure from the north starts to take a little bit of control away from the Bermuda High and the high over the Gulf of Mexico. All that sun today will push temperatures up to 80 to 85. Overnight, we're clear. We're 55 to 60. Another sunny day in the forecast for tomorrow, 80 to 85. Clear 60 tomorrow night, and it's sunny Saturday, 80 to 85. I'm meteorologist Rob Carrollton for News Talk, 1620 WTAW.
There you go. It's 8:35. Time to talk about things going on in the city of Bryan. So we're going to talk BTU today, and Gary Miller, who's the general manager of BTU, is here. How are you this morning, Gary?
Doing great, Scott. How are you?
Good. Good to see you again. Yes, you brought a guest with you.
I did. Chairman of our board. The BTU chairman is Paul Turney. Uh-huh. Been on the board for several years, but been board chair for right at about a year now.
Excellent. Paul, welcome.
Thank you.
So what's your other job?
What's my other job? My other job is with the Council of Governments. I manage a couple of nonprofits that we've created over the years.
Okay.
The Brazos Valley Affordable Housing Corporation and the Brazos Valley CDC, Inc.
Did it take special qualifications or abilities to be named to the board? And if so, why were you a choice?
I was able to get on the board. I'm a rural resident like yourself, Scott, and had a little bit of concern because rural residents don't have any say-so on what happens with BTU. All the board members are appointed by the city, and it's a city-owned utility.
Mm-hmm.
But because the accounts that the Affordable Housing Corporation has, the Affordable Housing Corporation has with BTU, we're a large customer.
Yeah.
And there's a position on the board for large commercial customers.
Sure. So about seven people on the board, is that
yes,
right?
Sir. That's
then,
correct.
And then a member of the city council is on there as well. Well, I mean, BTU's up and running. Lights come on every day. What kind of decisions does this board have to make?
The board kind of reviews some of the decisions that the staff recommends and decides which way to go. We are very, very fortunate in Bryan, Texas and Brazos County to have BTU. One of the things that I've learned since I've been on the board is the integrity of the organization. They do everything for the right reasons, and it's municipally owned, and so it's for the consumer.
Well, you know, it's always been a situation where the city manager really has to have a skill set that a lot of city managers don't have because you've got to run a utility. This is very interesting because obviously the current city manager, Keene Register, came out of BTU. So
right.
So that certainly helps from that standpoint. But going forward, is it the board's job to create a vision for the future for BTU, or does management do that and then bring you what you should pass muster on or not?
The board will do the vision for the future, but we do that with a significant amount of staff input.
So what kind of a thing does BTU need to, what are the challenges of the future, at least as chairman of the board, that you see that BTU needs to be taken on for 10, 20, 30 years down the road?
Making sure that we have sufficient power generation capabilities as we need them. Trying to do things proactively to keep the rates low long term. Doing assessments of the input costs going in and projections and try to hedge for those when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we use a lot of natural gas and, you know, gas prices are low.
Yes.
It could only take some federal government action to change some of that possibly. So,
well, 10 years ago we were thinking that was probably not a good thing. The future didn't look very good
that's
far
exactly
as that
right.
went. So that's it. Now, is it the board? I know that there's been some talk about the TMPA plant being turned over. Thought it was going to happen, what, maybe 2-3 weeks ago, and it didn't. Is that is there board action that still needs to be taken, or where do we necessarily stand at that?
At this point, board action has been taken, and there are some things on the other end that have to happen first before the transaction can be finalized. But I'm going to let Gary speak to that because he's more in the know.
I will certainly do that. But also, I know that you wanted to mention that this is a special week, too, as far as public power is concerned. Right?
Yes, Scott. Coming up next week is National Public Power Week. It's an annual event that occurs the first full week in October every year, and it's it's intended to help educate the public on the benefits of public power.
Okay, good. Thanks. I appreciate you being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Gary, let's turn our attention to that TMPA deal. Kind of, again, we thought it was a done deal, and it's not yet.
Well, it's close. So there's four cities involved, Denton, Garland, Greenville, and Bryan, and all four cities have approved moving forward. We do have a couple of counterparties on the other side of the deal that are still working out some of the details. So whenever that happens, we believe that the deal will go through, but we're still waiting. We've got just a few more minor issues to work through.
60 or 90 days?
No, I don't think it's going to be that long. I think it's probably going to be 30 days, somewhere okay. In that neighborhood.
I mean, is there a dollar value that's going to be conveyed to the cities? How does that something like that get settled?
Well, so we still have a lot of debt on that plant, and we will continue to work to pay that down. So all of the funds that come out of this will go towards paying debt, and then but ultimately, for the ratepayers, the BTU, this is going to be a win situation. So we will be better off economically. BTU will be better off economically after this deal is done.
So Gary Miller, general manager of BTU, how many cities in Texas have their own utility?
I think there's about 70.
Okay,
and you know some of them are very very small, and then you have San Antonio and Austin who are okay. very very large.
Yeah, and so. I think people need to understand this is a money-making organization. I mean, there is a profit margin that is, I guess, that you plan on. Mother Nature doesn't always cooperate
well,
with you.
That's right.
But you generate excess power, and you're able to sell that off in the marketplace.
Absolutely. We do that, and we do make money off of that. But all of that money goes back straight into the ratepayer. So it's really used to reduce rates as opposed to a profit for the company.
Okay, so for that guy who says, "Hey, look, why don't you just take everything and plow it back in, so I don't have to pay a higher rate?" What does your answer need to be to that?
And that's what we're doing. Yeah. So we are constantly. Changing rates, not constantly, but we often do cost of service studies to make sure that we are charging our customers the right thing. So all of the monies that we receive from these generation ventures that we are into go back into that cost of service study as a revenue stream so that we are charging our customers only what we need to recover in order to really be a net zero company.
Population of Texas continues to grow. That means there are going to be more potential energy users out there. When or how do you look at let's build more generation?
Well, we look at that every year. And, you know, as you and Paul talked about, just, you know, natural gas is a big fuel at the moment, could change at any time. Coal is sort of on the wane right now. But solar and wind are huge up-and-comers, and so we're always looking at that. So we look at what our generation sources need to be every year. We're always looking at whether we should build a new generating plant like we have out at Dansby right now, or whether we should buy solar or wind or anything else that might be available. And so load growth is in the Brazos Valley is big, and we're trying to keep up with that. But we have very good means to do that. And so every year we're making the decision on what we need to do.
Now, I read someplace Texas is making more wind power than anybody else in America now. How has that market changed?
That's a very interesting market because it is making more than anywhere else, and the percentage share of wind in the market is growing by leaps and bounds, and that's causing some difficulties for the market because it's where it used to be load that drives volatility, it's now wind that drives volatility in the market, and so we have to keep up with that. And so
now how does it drive the market then? Okay, load I understand, but how does wind drive the market right?
Well,
now?
If you have forecasted wind and you're going to have a lot of generation, expected mm-hmm. generation from mm-hmm. wind, and that wind doesn't show up, then you have a lot of generation that you're counting on that's not going to be there. So
right.
So you have to have backup generation on the grid in order to accommodate that, and that causes issues that we didn't used to have. So it's a challenge, but it's something that we can overcome, and we have, and it's just a different world for us for that part of our business now than it used to be.
All right, I may be getting too geeky, but I'm kind of interested. Okay, let's say that there's a lot more wind than you thought. So there's a whole lot more wind-generated power that goes onto the grid. How do you have to respond in that situation?
So what that causes is low prices, because on a real-time basis. So prices right now, if there's a lot of wind, will go down significantly. And then generators or conventional generators like natural gas and coal that were expecting to get paid for their generation at a reasonable price are now getting paid at a very low price. So it makes it very difficult for other types of generators to make a profit in this market. So there are lots of challenges, but I think ERCOT is doing a very, very good job of meeting those challenges and making sure that all the market participants are able to do the things that they need to do.
So people understand ERCOT runs the grid in Texas, and like everything else in Texas, we're better at it than anybody else, so we got our own grid, right?
That's right.
I want to circle back around to TMPA for just a minute. That was a very specialized facility. Right. I mean, it did one thing. Can it still do that one thing, or will the new owners turn that into something completely different?
Well, I can't say really what the new owners will do, because I don't know. My expectation is that they will likely continue to do what it has done for the last 30 years and generate power, and you know, they believe that they have a business model in which they can do that. So I don't expect any changes out there really with respect to what they're doing. You know, they're going to continue to burn coal and generate power, I believe.
Okay, very good. Thanks. Anything else I need to cover this morning we haven't?
Well, we wanted to talk about one thing, and that's the events that are going on next week.
Let's do.
And I'll let Paul go over
sure.
those.
Okay.
Yeah, so next week on Monday, we're having coffee and donuts out in front of the BTU lobby at 10 a.m.
All right, there you go. Food and Publix coffee and to butter. Start off with. Yeah. That's good, yeah.
Tuesday, we're having popcorn in front of the building at 1:30 p.m. until 3 p.m.
Okay.
Wednesday is a lunch and learn, so you can get a free lunch if you come by there. You have to RSVP so that we know the head count, but that's going to be at the City Hall, okay. Bryan City Hall. And then Thursday is a small giveaway. If you come through the BTU drive-thru, there'll be some small items to be given away. They haven't told me what those items are yet. So
come by and find out, right?
Yeah, come by and find out. And then on Friday, they're going to have half-price appetizers out at Lakeside Ice House out at Lake Bryan.
Food-centric. You guys are smart. You're doing it the right way, aren't you? Thanks for the time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep, that's our Thursday community segment that's sponsored by Van Dyck Reichen Insurance Agency, serving your insurance needs since 1936 with honesty and integrity.
80 years ago, life was simple, and so is insurance. Since 1936, Van Dyck Reichen has been insuring your family and business, protecting those things most important to you. As a business owner, you've poured your blood, sweat, and tears into your passion. So save money while working with someone you know and someone you trust. Van Dyck Reichen Insurance. People just like you, providing insurance services with honesty and integrity.
Schulte Roofing is the home of the bulletproof roof.
Hi, I'm David Schulte. At Schulte Roofing, we're not the best because we said it. We're the best because you did. Voted best roofing contractor in the Brazos Valley for 7 straight years. And a proud member of the Better Business Bureau with an A-plus rating. Call us today and experience our award-winning service. Schulte Roofing, home of the Bulletproof Roof Guarantee.
Schulte Roofing, the home of the Bulletproof Roof.
You won't find many local businesses that have been around for 70 years. But Acme Glass has. They started in 1946 in downtown Bryan, where they are right now. The Moreheads have been providing glass for people under all sorts of circumstances ever since then. Now, they've added a location in College Station across the main entrance from A&M. But Acme Glass has done this from day one, and that is give you the service that you want with a quality product. Glass still does what glass has always done, but it does even more now. And if you'd like to see some of the uses of glass, especially in homes and businesses that Acme Glass has done around town, then stop by and they'll be glad to show you, share some examples. Of course, you think of auto glass, and that makes perfect sense because that's how most of us interact when it comes to needing some sort of glass repair or replacement. And Acme Glass can fix those little pops that happen when a pebble or something gets thrown up into your windshield, they'll do it while you wait, and quite often your insurance can take care of that for you. And remember that if you buy your windshield from Acme Glass and you have those pops or little cracks right there, they'll fix those for you free for as long as you own the car. Again, in downtown Bryan and across from the main entrance at A&M, Acme Glass.
12thman.com gives you the whole story on Texas A&M athletics. 12thman.com is the latest news for all sports. 12thman.com is schedules, game times as they become available, rosters, statistics, and 12thman.com is your connection for tickets. Don't miss any of the action as you show your support for Texas A&M athletics. Stay connected all year long with 12thman.com.
About 10 minutes till News Talk 1620 WTAW. It always seems like you get, if you're flying, the gate that you land in is as far as it could possibly be from the gate that you have to make the connection, right?
Of course. Of course. That makes sense.
Okay. And the thing
Which also means your bags have to get that far.
That too. Some airports years back were designed with multiple circular or semicircular terminals like Houston and Dallas-Fort Worth. And actually Newark Liberty is that way as well. But there's an article this morning in the Wall Street Journal talking about the longest walk. And the longest walk is Hartsfield-Jackson in Atlanta. 1.67 miles.
Wow.
If you had to go from one end to the other.
It's also like the busiest airport in America.
Of course, the deal is now they have trams most all the time.
Right.
But there was a time when they didn't, and of course in Houston, there was a time when they were always constructing, and because we're in steerage, having to fly the little baby jets back here, you know, they take us down to this dark tunnel, this hole, this place
this
way
bus,
down there. And now, though, that's kind of a big part of their business, so you go in there and walk in, and there's this general room where they put, like, eight of those little baby jets up next to it, and they wander off to Indianapolis or Louisville or Bryan College Station or whatever. And it's, but they're changing the way that it looks, and there's some discussion about that in there as well. The new terminals that they've got in Dallas and Houston. I guess it was Houston I was at the most recently at the international terminal, and it's a lot easier to get to, but traffic is such a problem. I mean, there's just that's all there is to it. All right, now, do you have to go, or have you already finished your other
paper
route?
I'm good. I'm here.
All right, because you are,
I'm 100% committed.
All right, you are a designated correspondent for this TV show.
Ooh, here we go.
That we promised that we would, well, I don't know if we promised we'd keep up with it.
But we will.
It seemed like a pretty interesting thing. So yeah. It's called what?
It's called This Is Us.
Okay, all right.
And it's on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, it tells the story of four different people. It starts the show off where they're all turning 36 on the same day.
Okay.
And then by the end of the show, you realize how they're all connected. And so the second episode was this week, and I watched it last night after recording it. And man, it is just a good show. It really it kind of hits a lot of different topics.
Okay.
But it's one of those that kind of just moves at a normal pace throughout the entire show, and then at the end it's like bam, plot twist.
Oh, good.
Whoa. And so instead of kind of like leaving you hanging with commercials that you have to wait through, it makes you wait an entire week for the next episode.
I like that. That's
but I
a
do.
Good thing.
I do. It definitely keeps me interested.
Or does it make you want to binge watch it?
Ooh. If it were available to binge watch, okay, yes, yeah. I would probably binge watch maybe so it's a good thing that I'm watching it now, like in real time.
Well, their second show did fairly well in the ratings, as did Bull, apparently. Mm. This Is Us pulled in 8.8 million viewers. Bull pulled in 13.6. Each of them down about 2 million from their debut, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. You said Bull is terrible, right?
Right,
the first one I saw was. I mean, I'll give it a chance.
I definitely thought This Is Us, the second episode, was much better, even just throughout the, you know, because the first one you were kind of like, oh, I don't really know what this is about. And then it leaves you that cliffhanger at the end. This one was kind of good throughout the episode, and then another big, you know, twist at the end is going to keep me wanting to come back for more.
Well, see, and I think that is a good idea. The twist thing that happens now,
I don't know if they'll do that with every episode. I mean, it's going to be hard unless it just gets like crazy.
Well, is it self-contained?
What do you mean?
In that in that you can just watch that and that can be a standalone episode, or do you need to be watching it each week?
I think you need to be watching it each week.
All
yeah,
right. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
Yeah, you can't really, you won't understand certain storylines.
But
story
for instance,
lines.
With Bull, I presume, it's one of those that's standalone. The NCIS series, they generally stand alone.
Right, like you might miss some kind of relationships that are ongoing, but for the most part, you could, I mean, I'm talking about with NCIS and stuff, you know, but you can watch one episode and still, you know, get the gist of it.
All right,
this
so
one you need to watch.
There's our entertainment report
there
for today.
There you go.
All right. Two Dutch companies have say they have created a hearse out of a Tesla Model S. So we got ourselves an all-electric hearse. The two companies are Remitz Car, which makes luxury car limousines, and Vanderlands, which is a funeral transport company. They say the hearse really does exist. It will be seen this week at the 2016 funeral exhibition.
There's an exhibition for that?
Of course. There's an exhibition for anything.
Yeah, that's true. That's
going to be in the Netherlands. They also say that it's the world's first all-electric funeral car.
You can reduce your carbon footprint even in death.
Well, and that's and then, you know, you're moving along slowly, right? That, you know, so that works out fine. And it's...
Hey, you got nowhere else to be.
Well, you're right.
At that point, you know.
That's true. You don't have to be in a hurry. And you know, but they still give you a police escort. You know, that's interesting. You don't have to stop for stoplights, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. At that point, why would it matter?
Mm-hmm. The secret for a great day starts with a great night's sleep. And I get that every night on my Casper mattress. Casper was invented with two high-tech supportive foams that guarantee that you're going to get the best night's sleep ever. Time magazine named it one of the best inventions of 2015. And you can try it in your home for 100 nights, risk-free. If you don't love it, Casper will come by, pick it up, and refund every single dime. Casper.com. Use the promo code Beck for $50 off the purchase of your mattress. That's Casper.com. Promo code Beck. Terms and conditions may apply.
Nothing increases the value of your home like a new kitchen or bathroom. I'm Joe Orsak, and since 1998, Marblecraft has specialized in the custom fabrication and installation of granite countertops, cultured marble bathtubs, showers, and vanities in new and existing homes. Call me today at 846-3881 or drop by our showroom at the corner of Carson and Finfeather in Bryan. From tear out to make ready, Marblecraft can handle your entire project. At Marblecraft, we look forward to the privilege of serving you and your family.
Did you know that Aggieland Carpet One Floor and Home is part of a cooperative?
Being a co-op means that Aggieland Carpet One Floor and Home is a local business that is owned and operated right here, and it's part of a network of other independent stores just like it. We have the buying power of over 1,000 stores and give you the best exclusive products at competitive prices. We give back by supporting our veterans and local schools.
Come see us today at Aggieland Carpet One next to Harley Davidson on Highway 6.
Everyone loves to win free stuff. Just ask any radio DJ. Now your business can get help growing your social media following, get more web hits, more leads, or even more foot traffic by using the same contesting company radio stations use. Get the support you need to build and promote a sweepstakes or contest to drive your ROI. Just go to radiocontest.com. And to prove contesting really does work, we're giving away $5,000 in advertising to one lucky business owner. No purchase necessary. Go to radiocontest.com. That's radiocontest.com. Contesting and promotional tools provided by Aptivada.
Really? Going to go to a website for a radio ad? Right, see how that works out. So, when you're feeling lousy, your mom, grandma, even your great-grandma used to say, feed a cold, starve a fever.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that right? Well, the old adage can be linked to a passage in a 1574 dictionary authored by an Englishman named John Withall that read, fasting is a great remedy of fever. But the saying's true origin will most likely remain a mystery. The centuries-old phrase was based on a simple theory of body temperature. When someone was struck with a cold, eating was thought to increase the body's internal heat enough to ward off the shivers. While denying the body food or starving of fever would have the opposite effect. But according to modern science, it's rarely ever a good idea to try to starve any ailment away. Starving a cold or a fever can hinder a person's recovery. Best thing to always do, stay hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most
important
thing. Stay hydrated.
And chicken noodle soup.
Yep, that'll work. So if the car companies are to be believed, self-driving cars will soon dominate our world.
What?
If regular consumers are to be believed, automakers need to hold their horses a little bit because people aren't really ready for self-driving cars of the future, don't believe. Now, these are the results of a new survey from Kelley Blue Book. The results found that 80% of the surveyed participants said people should, quote, always have the option to drive themselves, end quote. 64% of the respondents said they need to be in control of their own vehicle, and 62% said they actually enjoy driving. Well, yes, sometimes we do, except when you don't.
Right.
Baby boomers were the most resistant, 76%.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by the Gen Xers at 64%, and the millennials with, oh, whatever. No, yeah. 60%.
They don't
say.
Like change.
No. The Gen Zs, that's ages 12 to 15.
Oh, okay. Didn't know we had one of those already.
I didn't either.
All right.
They were the most optimistic about what the future will
hold. They're 12.
Yeah, they're kids.
They don't even know.
They've never driven before.
Yeah, have no concept of the real world. So
that's an interesting thought. If they're self-driving cars, can kids take them on their own?
Oh, see? And you must have a license. You've got to have a license.
But will they lower the age?
Yeah, we'll see.
That's interesting.
All right, this date in history, 1650.